Session. We're going to get started in just a minute. We're in the process of loading up the slides on the Adobe Node, and we'll get started very soon.
Is this recording?
This is recording. So for the purposes of recording, we have Patrick Jones from the security team. We have
Jeff Moss.
And John Crane, also security team.
So for those that are remote, and we do have a couple of remote participants, while we're loading the slides, we wanted to give a brief introduction, and I'm going to turn it over to Jeff to introduce himself, and we'll talk about the team, and then we'll talk about why we have done this consultation or initiated this effort. The security team is one of the few teams that publishes an annual framework of its programs and activities. We did this last year at the Singapore meeting, provided an update on our FY12 activities. In the meantime, there's been a security, stability, and resiliency review team effort under the affirmation of commitments, and that review team completed its final report right before the Prague meeting. The security team has also recently posted its FY13 SSR framework, which we're in the process of loading onto the Adobe Connect. And in addition to that, we have a document that is a draft statement of ICANN's role and remit in security, stability, and resiliency. And those two documents are out for public comment right now. So we're going to use this time for those remote and also for the recording for our own inclusion in the comment summary to have some hopefully interactive dialogue with those remote, because there's four people in this big room. and it's also early, but that was the time that was also available. So with that, turn it over to Jeff.
So I'll just say hello. I'm Jeff Moss, the CSO of ICANN, and as Patrick mentioned, the security team put out its budget. What we're trying to do with the budget is be more and more detailed with the budget each time. I know some of the comments from the SSR team was that it's big and opaque, and a lot of things go in the security team budget, and so we've been trying to get a more detailed breakdown that we can share with the community, and so this is the next step. And in the future, we hopefully will get as transparent as we can possibly get.
Jeff?
Yes. Question from Bill.
I'm assuming that we're going to be sort of interactive here.
Yes, I hope so, with four people.
Seven.
We'll count ourselves.
In doing security work and particularly budgeting, occasionally there's a box that says we don't really.
It's for the recording.
This is for the outside guys. Okay,
yeah.
So this is Bill Manning, and my question to Jeff is: having served on the security Stability and Resilience Review Team. One of the questions that we discussed or talked about had to do with occasionally the need for having opaque budget.
Yeah.
And while openness and transparency is highly desirable, and particularly in ICANN's case, and particularly given the rapid changing nature and growth of the security section that you're responsible for, do you see the need for an opaque box for budgeting?
There'll always be an opaque box, but my goal is to make it as small and as necessary as possible, so it doesn't become just sort of a catch-all for things. So there are certain projects and certain things that we just don't want to share.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I can... You can probably guess what some of them are.
Oh, I don't want to guess. I have a vivid imagination, and so I don't really want to guess.
Yeah.
But going forward, I mean, that seems, as you develop a budget, you can sort of cut that piece out relatively easily.
Right. Did you guys get the Adobe?
Yeah. Actually, it looks good. So
it's not up on the screen. Is that any problem?
We're not going to project it on the screen in the room, but the link, the Adobe Connect link, is working properly, and the slides online work. So from the FY12 version to FY13, we have updated the base terminology that we use. So from a starting point, and some of these, so this is an update. The resiliency definition has been, I think, what's it?
Okay. No, it's not that. It's just how do you project this?
You have
here
to drag and drop it over to the other screen if you wanted to go to the.
Oh, okay. Now the mirroring always screws it up.
Yeah, just drag and drop.
Yeah, apologies for the logistical challenges for those remote. There we go. It's going to look worse for those in the room than those remote.
Actually, this is the problem, right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so this comes from the draft role and remit statement, which is based on recommendation one of the SSR review team. We've taken the initiative, even though the report is been provided to the board, and it still needs to go through that process to publish the draft statement. This statement includes some base terminology, and we've tried to come up with a way to initiate the community discussion around what it means to coordinate, what it means, what's ICANN's technical mission, and at least start to have some consultation around the role of ICANN and also the community in SSR for the unique identifiers. You can go to the next slide. Our annual framework is divided into two sections. Part A focuses on ICANN's role in the ecosystem, and we've tried to divide ICANN's role into those things that are operational, so ICANN's management of LRoot DNS operations, the DNSSEC key signing infrastructure, the management of the IANA functions, and also new gTLD operations. The second layer would be ICANN's involvement as a coordinator, collaborator, and facilitator with the global community. And then the third area would be ICANN's engagement with others in the ecosystem. So the next area that what we've tried to put some clarity around is ICANN's technical mission. This can be interactive for those that are in the room and also those remote. And in the chat, okay. So if anyone remote has questions, please post them in the chat and we can raise them and answer your questions that you have. No, I don't want to read it to it. Go to the next slide. Yeah. With the framework and also with our role and remit statement, we've tried to provide some clarity around those things that ICANN does and does not do in SSR. And this has remained fairly consistent since the 2009 framework. Tried to state very clearly that ICANN does not play a role in policing the internet or operationally combating criminal behavior. ICANN does engage with and provide an opportunity for law enforcement to participate within the ICANN community. One of the things that has become more apparent over the last several years is that the law enforcement and operational security community do not neatly fit within ICANN's constituency and stakeholder group structures. So at this meeting and at other meetings, we've provided a opportunity for that community to meet and reach out to other advisory committees and stakeholder groups. And that's just part of the security team's role in serving as a bridge between the technical community, law enforcement, the registry operators, ISPs, and others.
Next slide.
Yeah, we're going to go fairly quickly through these next set of slides. That way we can get to the part that is about the team and what our main areas and of emphasis are. Next slide. I guess before we get into the introduction of the team and our core project areas, the questions that we're projecting online go into the role and remit statement that is out for public comment. Some of these, Patrick.
Yeah, can you go back one slide? When you have text like ICANN cannot unilaterally, is it not a risk that that is creating more questions than answering them? Because people might then ask, okay, so can you please explain when you're suspending domain names?
Hit the button. Do you want to come up?
Well, there's a microphone you can use for the online.
Well, we have remotes.
Dave Piscatello is joining us at the front, also on the security team.
So, in some scenarios, law enforcement will actually subpoena ICANN. Often it's because they don't quite understand that we can't do this directly. And in the case where the order is a sealed order, you're generally not supposed to, you're actually prohibited from actually going and telling any other party about the seizure. So that means that ICANN can't go to the registry unless they go back to law enforcement in the court and say, you've prohibited us from talking to the party that we must talk to in order to suspend the domain. So in that case, we are actually part of the court, we're part of the chain of, the chain of execution. And that's why, we don't unilaterally suspend the domains, but in some cases we're actually parties to the suit.
These slide sets are to sort of inform people when they're dealing with us about things that we really can't do. There is a misconception out there that ICANN can do this, and there's other documents, including something that they put out about how people should get domains suspended, but the important thing is it's not us.
Okay. No, I was more thinking about the actual English, the words that were used on the slides, that, like, how clear are those words for non-English-speaking people in other parts of the world not living in the U.S. legislation, more than asking what the actual process is. Thank you.
Instead of unilaterally, you'd like directly or something? No,
I just thought that I could raise a warning sign that people start thinking when they see that. So.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think that's a fair comment. We've not had any negative feedback on it yet, but yeah, we will keep an eye on that.
Good. So I think the important thing here, which I also heard you explain, is that the key word here is cannot, not unilaterally. Thank you.
So with our draft statement on role and remit, we have posted some questions for the community. Some of these questions are intentionally quite open-ended and hoping to generate some dialogue.
Feedback online.
Yeah.
Well, and since the comment period is still open, we're hoping to draw some online comments. We want people to think about this and take some time and send your comments in, because this is really going to inform the debate, not just within the security team, but within ICANN and the various supporting organizations. We're finding that it's confusing to people not familiar with ICANN and foreign governments when talking and thinking about what ICANN can and can't do, that it's important that we have a clear statement of our role in coordination. So if anybody in the room wants to kick off a conversation on this, we'd appreciate it. If not...
Yeah, so partly this, we've noticed that there's been a evolution in the environment since we posted the FY12 framework and in the development of the FY13, is that there's been continued adoption of DNSSEC by TLD operators. We're now up to, I think it's, 87 or 88 top-level domains have signed their zones, and over the last year, we've had the expiration of the free pool in IPv4 address space, and we just did World IPv6 Day. Was that in early June? There's been a continued growth in the number of IDN ccTLDs, and now that the new gTLD process has launched. And in addition to that, there's been quite a bit of international events, legislation, and government intervention efforts that have all occurred since we published the FY12 framework. Next slide. We thought this was useful, especially for the community to see that over the last year there have been a number of entities and governments that have published their principles for internet. And it's... So we have links here. Thought it's useful. This just provides some guidance for the community as you consider security, stability, and resiliency. There's significant discussion around the multi-stakeholder model and internet governance, and these are some good documents to review in the context of events that are coming up later this year. And as I mentioned, our team is quite unique because we've gone through the process of publishing an annual framework. So this page of links provides the background of our previous plans and frameworks that have been acknowledged by the ICANN board. So our timing is that we're in the process. We did an advance preview with ESSAC earlier this year. We've also provided an opportunity for improvement to this draft, and now that we're in the consultation process through the PROG meeting, I believe the comment period ends in early August, and that we're continuing to reach out. But we've also, our fiscal year begins in, 1st of July, so we'll be already in the middle of FY13 and needing to start to progress on our programs and activities. So as I mentioned, our annual framework is divided into two parts. Part B focuses on the things that are our key programs and initiatives for the coming fiscal year. And in response to the SSRT recommendations and also our conversations with the community, we've added a new module this year at the very end that provides a status update on those things that we said we would do in our previous FY12 plan, and shows how some of those projects and initiatives were executed on during the year. Yeah. You want to talk about how our team fits in with the other teams in the organization, and some of the so.
So internally, the security team supports overall operations within ICANN, from supporting the legal department, supporting HR, supporting our own IT infrastructure systems. And so when people think of the ICANN security team, sometimes they think of us purely as external, engaging with you know, SAC or RSAC, or but two team members basically focus full-time on the internal activities within ICANN, just kind of keeping our own house in order. And we provide both sort of risk and security comment on for any questions that come up from any executives and other teams, as well. What? Oh, okay. You want me to go through some of these? Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing is we're providing, as you see on the list, we're infusing sort of security resiliency as a core value within ICANN. There's four pillars, and security is one of them. In the strategic plan, and as I mentioned, we're a standalone department with a pretty good budget. And as we find through activities such as bringing the new GTLD program online, the security team was heavily involved in testing internal programs and identifying issues. And that has raised the profile of the security team within the company. And so we're being viewed more as an essential element for these future programs and projects. So as you've guessed previously, some of the team members, Patrick more specifically, spent a lot of time coordinating for the SSR review that just completed, and will probably still be engaged in the next couple of months with some post-SSR reporting. We spent a lot of time externally focused also, global security engagement, awareness, thought leadership. There's areas, do we have the collaborator influencer slide coming up? Okay, so I won't go into that. Yeah, let's just go to that one. Oh, no, we don't have that one.
So, John, you do quite a bit of training within the CCTLD community and also with other operators. You want to talk about some of the training that we do as a team that gets to the providing education and awareness?
Yeah, so we do actually spend quite some resources on time working in cooperation with others in the community, which our focus is really on the identifier system. So we tend to spend a lot of time working with CCTLD organizations. We're also working closely with the Commonwealth Cybercrime Initiative, once again, to expand the capabilities of mainly CCTLDs and people in the identifier industry. Typically, these trainings are on a asked-for basis. You know, somebody will come to us and say, you know, our organization is a grouping of operators in this industry, and could you come and talk to us about X, Y, or Z? These generally, X, Y, and Z generally tends to be about either security practices, issues around operating stable infrastructure, and sometimes just what does ICANN do kind of outreach. We published where we're going to be on our security website, www.icann.org/en/security, and you'll also see, if you look at, for example, any of the TLD organizations, you'll see their trainings also mention us. And if people have input on how we can hone this, or if we're not reaching the right audience or the right topics, then please feel free to come forward either to myself or any of those organizations.
So we're projecting a slide that describes who's on the team, and to start with, we added, brought in Jeff Moss in April last year, so now you've had over a year on staff at ICANN.
And I think I'm just starting to understand how this organization works.
Good. So when you figure it out, could you tell us?
So we also have Jeff Bickers, who's not at this meeting, but is heavily involved with our meeting security as well as our internal information security efforts. John, you want to talk a bit about some of the things that you do?
Well, I think I just talked a little bit about it, but you know, I work a lot in the outreach area, trainings, trying to get information inside as well. Obviously, when you're out talking to people, you hope it's a two-way conversation, so I also try and bring input from outside of what people are expecting of us. Yeah, another thing you'll see, one of the things I've been an advocate of is not flying the flag too much. So when we are out there giving trainings, you won't see them advertised as an ICANN training. It will be a LAC TLD training. It will be a, you know, we just did a training at Caribnog, but we're not trying to be the world's training expert here. We're just trying to be a resource. So, you know, you may not actually sometimes be aware that we're doing these programs, because although it's in our budget and it's, you know, we consider it part of our mandate, and we're very open about the fact we're not out there, you know, there's not a big advertising campaign or anything. So sometimes, you know, we may already be doing trainings in your area and you don't even realize it. As long as it's good training, that's all that should matter to you. Don't worry about who's doing it.
So we also have, as part of the team, an available resource, Whitfield Diffie, as VP for Information Security and Cryptography. Whit started out as an advisor to the CEO. I'm Senior Director of Security, and I kind of keep the team coordinated and manage our budget and also coordinate with our external efforts. So that primarily has been this SSR framework and being available as a resource for the different review teams that are on, and also, what are you saying, being annoying?
No, I said being a whipping boy.
Oh, okay. We also have in the room Dave Piscatello, who was previously a few years ago on policy staff and then became sort of a hybrid policy security person. And now we're really glad to have Dave full-time as part of the security team, and also with his depth of knowledge in the policy area. So you don't have to stay in the audience. You can come up to the stage if you want. Someone who's not here but has become a really fantastic resource for us has been Sean Powell, and we owe him major thanks for his efforts in information security and working on our networks and becoming more providing us with better visibility. Yeah, and not least Rick Lamb, who's a senior program manager for the DNSSEC efforts, the key signing infrastructure. We just did a key ceremony in Culpeper, I think about a month ago, and he's continuing to you know, spread the message and on DNSSEC and encourage adoption and lead training.
Rick maintains the page under security where we track which registrars support DNSSEC DS key entries by end users. That's one of the pages that Rick maintains as his overall effort to try to gain visibility and awareness around DNSSEC.
Dave, you want to talk a bit about some of the, you know, in particular the thought leadership area? We posted a paper before the Costa Rica meeting on domain seizures and takedowns and some of the things that you do.
So part of what you know, I've done for most of my career is try to raise awareness about security issues, step back and take a look at systemic problems and see whether there's some, you know, relatively straightforward documentation that could actually simplify, you know, make processing or solving a problem much easier just because there's a document for people to actually converge on. And you know, when I came to the ESSAC, and then actually after I came to the security team, I've sort of continued to spend more time in global outreach than actually in ICANN core policy, largely because there's so much going on in the security community and law enforcement community that touches the domain name system and registration services that needs to have some sort of bridge and liaison. There's such different language, such different appreciation of time and urgency in some cases, different needs of law enforcement versus needs of business and competition. So an example of that kind of activity was a paper that Patrick's referring to that kind of steps back and doesn't take a posture on whether a domain name seizure is an appropriate thing to do in every case. It doesn't make a judgment. It simply says there will be a time when somebody will serve you an order as a registry, or somebody will serve you an order as a registrar, and you're going to comply because that's just what you do. You know, most people prefer to comply than to go sit in jail. And so if you're going to comply, you probably want to have the best information, so complying is not a nightmare for you. And so what we did was we went around and we talked to the security operations people, we talked to law enforcement, we talked to registries and registrars, and we came up with a paper that said, here's the documentation, and here's the way you could present it so that we could process your court order in the most expeditious fashion. And John and I actually did a little bit of a road tour with the paper in London when we were there last, and we happened to have an opportunity to meet with a number of people from European trade offices and consumer rights offices who were visiting the Office of Fair Trade in the UK at the time. And the paper was exceptionally well received, and they said, if only we had had this a year ago. But now they have it, and moving forward, that builds a really positive relationship, not only for ICANN, but for the registries and registrars, because we all actually want to solve the problem. We can set our differences aside and realize we don't want crime, and this is just one of the ways that we do that.
So as you've guessed, Dave is one of the primary flag standards bearers in our thought leadership component of one of the four areas that the security team operates in the influence area. One other point?
One of the other things that we are doing, John and Patrick and I, before Jeff came on, had started to realize the value of relationships with some of the operational and security communities. And so we've begun a much more closer relationship with the Anti-Phishing Working Group, as an example. And in April, when they were here in Prague, we sponsored at a modest level. In October, we are going to be one of the Platinum sponsors, and we're hosting our DNS Security, Stability, and Resiliency Symposium in conjunction with their October meeting, which gives us a really good opportunity to bring people from the DNS expert community to the same room with the people who are fighting a lot of the most significant cybercrime, and will be present at that meeting, and hopefully they'll stay a day, carry over, and work with us. So I'm excited about that because I've been crossing these two communities for about 7 years, and I think that this is only going to have a positive impact on our community.
If there are questions and opportunity, so there's a microphone up here.
Could you pass it back?
Pass it.
My name is Marilyn Cade. I want to say how much I appreciate the fact you're doing this briefing. And I know sometimes I think I particularly was affected by an interpretation that the chair of ICANN made, that because people were not in the room during the presentation, that no one was listening. And I chair the business constituency. And briefings like this, which are then available to be returned to and shared at other times into the broader business community are really, really helpful. So I just want to express my appreciation. I'd also like to comment about how impressive the willingness and availability of the team to interact and be subtle about the face of ICANN, but effective about the presence of ICANN. I think you're really taking the right approach, and I see and hear very good things when I encounter, in particular, people from developing countries who are having the opportunity to interact. So now I want more.
Good. Please put that in writing on the comments.
I will, but I have a specific request I'd like you to think about. The business constituency publishes a newsletter now for each of the meetings, and we will do an 8-page version for Toronto, and I'd really like to sit down, perhaps Patrick, we could do this while we're here, and think about whether we could do something in the newsletter that is pitched to business users about the work that ICANN is doing. I think that might be very helpful for us, in particular with the number of brands that are going to be coming into the new GTLD program. I think we're going to have the opportunity to reach into some of the technical sides, and particularly, Dave, topics like domain name fraud and abuse and takedown and other things, they may be looking at a different side of the equation. Many of them, as you know, are very active in the anti-phishing working group. So that's one request I'd like to think about, and that I think we would be very interested in trying to do that and make what you're doing more visible, but customize the story for business users. And then secondly, I think I started this conversation yesterday when Patrick and Jeff came to meet with the business constituency. I think we need to, as the community, look more carefully at the scope of the awareness and information initiatives that ICANN can support to reach perhaps a bit more broadly into the internet ecosystem. And we could perhaps take that up offline a bit.
So for the first one, if you get the nod from Jeff and Patrick, I've been freelance writing or self-publishing for 30 years. I just need topic word count deadline. Right. So that's just, that's how I made my livelihood before I came to ICANN. So for the second, we actually are doing some things that we didn't talk directly about. For example, I've been invited to the National Cybersecurity Education Council. Jeff is involved, in a similar effort, inside the Beltway. And I work with Lance Spitzner on the STH community. And with the Stop Think Connect initiative to try to raise security awareness. If you go to their site, you'll see that many of the articles that I've written at my site are linked. We do a lot of cross-tweeting to try to raise that awareness. And much of my writing about domain names is, here's how you protect yourself from these dangers. Writing something like that for the business community raises up a little bit of the business emphasis, but it's very very much the same signal that we are trying to amplify everywhere. If there are some specific things that we or specific places in the business community where we can go and we can talk about some of the issues without getting sort of sucked into the piracy, privacy, right? Because, frankly, me, I'm not aligned there. But there's like a generic set of topics. I think any of us are willing to do that.
So let me just, although the business constituency has members who are trademark protection and is a very high priority to business users, But the primary focus we take in the business constituency is the concern that comes from misuse and abuse of domain names. Not that we don't have a sister constituency who's has members who are very active in broader areas. But I think, Dave, for this particular purpose, for all of you, what we would like to do is focus on sort of what to do and how to respond and why you should get involved in ICANN from the business problem that is caused by misuse and abuse.
We've got there's another comment question in the room.
Good morning. My name is Alejandro Pisanti. I congratulate you, the ICANN SSR team, for putting forward new documents for consultation, in particular for putting the SSR framework in this new form. I pick up on Marilyn's points specifically for this intervention, which is one of the many findings that are behind the recommendations in the Stability, Security, and Resilience Review, which we have just delivered, is that there's that all three considerations, security, stability, and resilience, are a system-wide consideration and are systemic from a systems point of view consideration. And I think it's very useful to think bidirectionally. Where Marilyn has already spoken, for ICANN to find in the business constituency people who will convey not only the security messages that, let's say, that you need specifically about managing domain name abuse, about reacting to domain name abuse, about preventing and so forth, but also to carry the message that ICANN is doing these things. And people come back to a credible ICANN that's contributing positively to its mission. In fields where it's key, where and I would add to this to the obvious, which is let's say the English-speaking larger business community, as well as the large community out there, which still perceives ICANN unfairly or unduly, or with too much weight as an American corporation that's in charge of the internet, and where you can really. Limit the perception to the actual mission of ICANN and then improve the perception of ICANN as a positive force. I think that's, let's say, as Dave has offered to write the business constituency and many others have lots of people to write and venues where they know their audiences and how to tune the messages for them. And this has to be then a bidirectional large cooperative effort.
So can I add on one more request? Have you so far taken a look at participating in the national and regional IGF initiatives as speakers?
Yes. We do get invites for that. Obviously, generically, there's a lot of policy discussion there and ICANN staff there, but we also, we're a resource for the community. The IGF is part of that community. So if we get asked, and obviously budgetary constraints, all that stuff, the answer is yes. Okay, that's good. And on the issue of how we do the outreach, etc., it is one of the things that we struggle a little bit with, is making sure that we package these materials correctly. Including the issue of having them in other languages, etc., and also even the format, etc., that we do to make them more accessible, and so also that people can share them. We don't have to give these discussions or these trainings if we provide the materials in the best way. And pretty much anything that we provide in training, we automatically make that open source or public commons, so that anybody can use it, and try and do a bit of training the trainer as well.
Also, Marilyn, based on work that Rod had done speaking at or participating at the World Economic Forum in Davos last year, ICANN was asked to participate recently. In the World Economic Forum, they have a sort of their own security stability section, cyber resiliency. And so I recently participated in the World Economic Forum in Southeast Asia, and we were going to be asked to help provide comment on there are five sectors of risk analysis. And I think this is important because I think your group, in particular, with a growing number of people in the new G program, we're going to see a lot more business people that are business people coming to ICANN. And so we view participating with groups like the World Economic Forum as a very valuable new group that we need to be visible and, you know, active with. And so, so that's something we're planning to continue our involvement.
So I'd like, before we get off the IGF train, John has done some work, but also ESAC has done quite a bit annually with IGF. So I wanted to make certain that Patrick could actually explain our process and how we the ESAC actually does IGF, or the gentleman to your left can handle it. Yeah.
I hand over to Jim.
All right, so thank you. For the past 3 years, and we're doing it again this year, what ESAC has done is we've looked back at the work that we've done over the past year, so whatever has been some of the more significant publications, and we have sought to create a panel session that discusses that work. And we've actually explicitly reached out to other members of the community, not just ESAC members. We've always had a couple of ESAC members on the panel, but we've reached out to others out in the community to participate in the panel and to talk about the work in some form or another, how it's been part of what they've done or what they're doing with it or what they might do with it. In some cases, it's a planning kind of thing. I was the one who organized it the past 3 years, but this year it's Paul Vixie from ESAC and Andre Rovicheski, who will be from ISOC, who are the principal organizers of the panel session that we're doing this year. And they'll be focused on DNS blocking this year, will be the topic of interest.
Well, we've gone through our slides, and we've had them scrolling for those that are remote, and we've provided an overview of what our programs and activities and some of the things that where we're focused on. I know there aren't that many in the room, and there are some that are remote. If you have questions, feel free to post them in the chat. There's another question in the room.
My question is about budget. The business constituency chairs the budget working group for the commercial stakeholder group. And we're very concerned that the budget adequately supports certain functions that we think are very fundamental, compliance and enforcement, we're very articulate on. But we're also very interested in whether the budget that's just been passed, regrettably, since we had hoped that we would still have an opportunity to comment on it at the public forum, which is why I make that comment here. But we're very interested in whether the budget is able today really provides us with what we need in terms of scaling up to deal with the education and awareness. And this is one of the key areas, SSR, for the folks who are, I think, possibly going to start arriving sort of in a flood by Toronto. And I'm just wondering if you if you feel like you have the insights. It's hard to forecast what the needs may be that are incoming, and yet the budget's already frozen. So looking ahead and beginning to plan for next year, I'm just kind of interested in whether you have some ideas on how to forecast what those expanded needs may be.
So I think we're actually trying to evolve a program that we've been growing over several years for law enforcement. In the past, we've had a law enforcement day, and it has been a closed session, and that has raised some concern about in the community about whether ICANN is getting too cozy with law enforcement and the like. We started to think about ways to kind of separate that and explain. And this meeting in particular, one of the things that we did was we actually ran a training day. And it was education that was focused on cybercrime and focused on, the relationship between the DNS and ICANN and registration services and cybercrime and law enforcement. And there's a very, very large body of that material that would be applicable to the broader community. So quietly and gently, John and I have been pulling some of the law enforcement people who are influential in that community aside and saying, you know, it really would be good if what we could do is if figure out a way for the broader community to also participate in that education. And in that environment, the law enforcement people can sort of put up their Chinese wall and not talk among each other about investigations, but they can come and talk with the community. And in fact, we had some really, really good dialogue on Sunday between some of the registrars and some of the law enforcement people on issues that, a lot of people in the room just didn't understand. And at the end of the day, there was, much more crystallized understanding of resellers, as an example. So in Toronto, and in fact, at 9 o'clock, I'm going to meet with the RCMPs. The Toronto Royal Canadian Mounted Police are very excited about hosting something much bigger. And one of the things that we're going to ask is if we could have we could create some sort of pre-registration model where we guarantee that the law enforcement people for whom we're running this can have a seat, but there'll also be some other, first come, first serve, no lottery, no archery, kind of activity where we'll get we'll get at least 50, 60 people more in the room who could come from any of the communities, and then we'll go to all the SONAC chairs and say, here's the registration period. Hopefully that starts to address this. And I've been an educator for 20 years. John's an educator. We can do this very quickly. We have enough material to teach people for 6 months. So I'm sure that that we could open up a college. But no, we'd that's it.
Yeah, and when it comes specifically to what you're asking about budget, we have a very rigorous budget process and our team. And Patrick's our whipping boy to deal with the executives here, along with Jeff. We try to ensure that we also build in a level of flexibility. So I'm comfortable that we have enough budget to deliver as much capacity as we have, and we'll be flexible to change where we focus that if we see developments in needs. So if we do suddenly see an onrush of people that needs some form of outreach towards them or education around SSR, then we will make that happen. I don't think budget is going to be the issue. And, we're going to need to close up. So, Patrick, if you want to do that.
Yeah. So, we're kind of at the end.
I just want to thank everybody for either participating online or coming here in person. We'll be around for, obviously, until the ICANN is over and leaving on Friday. So if you have any questions or you want to talk privately one-on-one, just feel free to approach any of us. We're very open. And if we can't answer a question for any reason, we'll just be really honest and upfront and tell you. So please take the time to approach us if you have any other questions, or send us an email, view our security page, and thank you for participating.